haven't. Usually we had a great big platform, and we would have a bally hack over here, which is a motorcycle running on rollers, chained down with a siren on it. And myself, as a talker and a rider, I much preferred to have a young girl ride the bally hack, even though she might not appear in size. Always, it's called flash, and it's always good. And behind me would be, or at least 32 feet in the air, a silo-type structure. In fact, that's what the terminology is, a silodrome. And here's the way we go. Hi, look, hi, watch, come on down here to the motordrome. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a feature attraction of the entire Carnival Midway. Young lady, fire it off. Start up that motorcycle. Now, that motorcycle would be a 45 cubic inch Harley Abelson. The reason that we used a Harley-Davidson, a 45 cubic inch, for some reason they make a tremendous amount of noise, especially if you take the muffler and the stacks off them, with the sirens screaming. Of course, all the other shows hate to be around the motordrome because we make so much noise. And she'd stand up in the stirrups and rock back and forth across the rollers like this. By this time, we've got a great big crowd. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I want to tell you a little bit about the show you're going to see on the inside. This is the motorcycle, the Wall of Death, the Thrillorama. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is Daredevil Boys and Daredevil Girls on the straight up and down board wall, just as straight as the walls in your very own home. Yet these motorcycles will be racing around that wall. Now, these are not just ordinary motorcycles. They're stripped down, hopped up, high-speed racing motorcycles. And they will race around that wall at speeds approaching 100 miles an hour. And I'll promise you this, ladies and gentlemen. Three riders on the wall at one time. Think of that. Where death rides at every turn of the wheel. And believe me, they better be friends. Because one little mistake, one little miscalculation, and they're dead. Now, if you like the smell of gasoline mixed in with a spill of blood, where there's a thrill a minute, a spill a minute, this is the show for you. Now, I'm sure that you've gone out to your fairgrounds to see a thrill show, maybe a demolition derby. They put you way back in one of the seats of the grandstand. You can hardly see it. This will be practically in your lap. Yet you will be as safe as though you were watching it on television. You'll be within 3 or 4 feet of racing, riding, driving, motorcycle maniacs on the straight up and down board wall. Now there goes the little girl in. She's fired up the motorcycle. There goes rider number one on the wall. About this time, one of my helpers would come running up and whisper, I said, please, please, I'm trying to turn a tip, okay? That means trying to get people up. Come on, get you. What? Oh, my God. Oh, my God, you're kidding. You forgot to put gasoline in the machine and she's up on the wall? And I'd lay the mic down and run inside. And, of course, the people, they don't want to see thrill riders. They want to see someone break their neck. So they'd rush in, buy their tickets to see it. Of course, there's plenty of gasoline in the machines. That's the first thing. Another thing that we had to be very, very careful of, and that was power failures. Because if the light should go out, the centrifugal force and going around in a circle, suddenly it's like flying a plane in fog. You can't tell where you are. In fact, the book Gus the Great, which is patterned after John Robinson, he fell in love with the girl, the man's, the motordrome operator's wife. So he arranged while the fellow was up on the wall to kill the lights, and he couldn't tell up from down, and he went over the top and killed himself. Oh, that's the way it happens. That's called red lighting your pals in circus lingo.
Dick?
John out there wouldn't know anything about red lighting anyone, would you, John?
We're going to give you a break right now, get your voice back, and not as if you guys aren't used to talking, but I want to bring up Bobby Reynolds now. And Bobby's going to do a short motordrome pitch and then some others for us, because I want you folks to see some of the contrast of how various talkers do their individual pitches. None of this material is written down. For example, where did you learn your pitching?
On which one?
Well, on any of the shows you've done, how was it that you picked this up? You didn't get a book and memorize it, of course.
Oh, sure, you can get them in any good department store.
No, you began as a tattoo artist, which...
I began as a drone rider.
Drone rider.
And then switched over to a jagger. That's carnival terminology for a tattoo artist.
Right. And just being around those shows, you heard the pitches, and that's how you picked it up.
More or less. And then, of course, as Bobby and I were talking here the other night, when a new attraction would come on, some of the old talkers, they had no originality. And with someone brand new that you're breaking into the business, then you had to come up like Big Bad John. That's all mine. Hmm. Yeah. I don't know if anyone else had ever had moxie enough to exhibit a wild pig.
Well, while the folks are still here and you have that motordrome pitch still in your mind, let's bring up Bobby Reynolds and we'll have him do a motordrome pitch and some others here, including
right.
his flea circus. Okay, Bobby?
Thank you, Richard. Thank you. Commodore McNutt, how are you, sir?
Booby Reynolds. Okay, it's good to see you, Booby. It's been a long time.
Youth is in your way. Get the hell out of the way. Now, in all seriousness, the older talkers, and they're very pretty. They started this whole thing. But the older talkers, they carry on, and they talk, and they talk, and they talk. They weigh you out. But it doesn't matter. The younger pitchers, they get it there. Boom. See, the attention span of the United States right now is like zilch. So you have to get it all across in a few words. And he goes on with all his BS. But no, I'm only kidding.
I beg your pardon.
Don't beg. You're old
I'm
enough to steal.
And you are, and you know it. You're just jealous. That's
right. Come over and watch my pen pitch and see how jealous you could get. Now... No, in all seriousness, the Commodore is really, Dick is very good. He's great. But no more. You have to do it fast. You see, you have the motor drum there. You got the people out there. The chick is on the things. You go brum, 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 like this. Say, where they race and ride, dip and dive on that straight up and down board wall. At every turn of the wheel, they take their life into their own hands. Ladies and gentlemen, she falls off the wheel. You can see the blood and gasoline mixed together. Blah, 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 blah. Get the half a buck. Get the hell in there. That's all there is to it. That's basically what I did in those days. I don't like motodrome pitches. I didn't like it because the guys that drove the motorcycles were weirdos anyway. I stay with the sideshow where they're really weird. Many years ago when I was in Coney Island, I worked in Coney Island, and if you can in your imagination see 100 foot of banner line this way and 100 foot of banner that line with pictures on it like this, this is how it all looked. Behind there was a tent, and it used to go something like as freaks, wonders, and curiosities, the strange, the odd, the weird, the bizarre, and the unusual. You're going to see the sword swallower. You're going to see the fire eater. Kokomo, the mule face boy, the lower jaws, the protruding teeth that look and resemble that of a mule. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see Lola, the leopard skin girl. From the top of her head to the very tips of her toes, she's spotted like a jungle cat. But the one I want to call to your particular attention is Fat Alice from Dallas. She's so big and so fat, it takes four men to hug her and a boxcar to lug her. And when she starts to dance, she quivers like a bowl of your grandmother's jelly. On a cold, frosty morn, hell, if that don't make you laugh, there's something wrong with your laughing apparatus. But here's what I'm going to do. Don't run off and get a hot dog. I'll tell you, ticket seller, put away the 50-cent tickets. Don't sell them. For 2 minutes and 2 minutes only by my watch, don't run down the midway and get a hot dog from the Nathan's and come back later and fight with the cashier, you're entirely too late. But for 2 minutes and 2 minutes only, as long as there's a line going in, we're going to let everybody go in on a quarter. 25 cents to see all the strange, the weird, the odd, the bizarre, the macabre, and the unusual people. Freaks, wonders, and curiosity. That's how it went in those days, you know. And when I was younger, I was about 13 years old. I worked in Huber's Museum on 42nd Street, is where they had a flea circus. Lenny Bruce is what? No, Lenny Bruce hasn't got enough talents. He's got his own problem. Now, ladies and gentlemen, down in Huber's Museum in 42nd Street in the basement was a place where I worked. And I was 13 years old, and I was a magician. And I used to work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day for $21. And if they did that today, they'd be in jail. But it kept me out of trouble. And the first opening I ever made on a show was a flea circus. And in the basement of this place, this penny arcade, there was a place called Professor Heckler's Trained Flea Circus. His name was Roy Heckler. And I'll give you an idea how it sounded. There was a guy by the name of Jack Elkins, a very fine man, a mustache, fabulous-looking guy. He put me on the box, and he says, "Son, it's about time you learned how to do this." And he went upstairs and says, "I'm going to get a bowl of soup." When he said he went for a bowl of soup, that meant he went to go upstairs and get a drink. So he said, "I'm going to get a bowl of soup." And I always knew what he wanted, you know, so I got up in the joint and worked. And this is how the flea circus sounded. "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hubert's Museum. Once every hour, we present none other than Professor Heckler's Trained Flea Circus. In this enclosure, you're going to see dozens of real, live, train performing fleas. Fleas that juggle, jump through hoops, play football, operate a miniature merry-go-round. Tiny little fleas hitch to a chariot and they actually run a race. But the most predominating feature of the entire show is little fleas dressed in costume, and they dance to the strains of music. It is without a doubt the most fascinating sight the human eye has ever witnessed. Now the professor is on the inside, ready and waiting to give a performance. There is a small admission, I don't apologize for it. It's only 9 cents. Are you ready, professor? And then you grab the 9 cents, get the people in the back room, and that was it. But I had a hell of a time learning how to make change for 9 cents. Somebody come up and ask for 6 tickets, give me $1, I blew it. That's it. You know, probably gave more change or less change, you know. But it didn't really matter. And then after I left there, I went into vaudeville and I went into nightclubs, and I was a nightclub entertainer for a long time. And then I finally ended up on the West Coast with my own shows. Now, I have a show on the West Coast with giant killer rats in it. Now, this is how, if you pass by this thing, it's a big front. It's called a Singalo show, and this is how a 3-minute endless tape would sound on the front of the show. Rats! Rats! Giant killer rats from the jungles of Cambodia. More feared than the sniper's bullet. Capable of shredding a man's arm off in 30 seconds. It'll send chills up and down your spine. Look down in that great big steel cage. That's where those ferocious rats are. They're fierce. They're down there in that steel cage. Rats, giant killer rats. And it's a quarter, 20, and they go up for a quarter. What the hell? Well, for a quarter, you got to see a rat. They're down there eating carrots. They're vegetarians. They're stupid, you know. Well, you know, they're saying crunch, crunch, crunch. But, you know, that's the way it went. I still do it. You know what the hell is? Hey, man, those are big rats. I got more bigger ones. You know, the controversy. You know what the hell away? Hurt anybody for a dollar? The last time you bought gas, you got hurt more than that. Look it. Ladies and gentlemen, I also have a midget horse. I have a little midget horse. His name is Charlie Brown. He's actually legitimately 21 inches high. He's a dwarf horse, and he's in a Singalo show similar to this. And this is how the 3-minute tape on that end goes like this. It says, Charlie Brown, the smallest horse in the world. By golly, he eats but a shoebox of hay every day and drinks but a teacup of water. He's a tiny little fellow. Look down, way down, a pasture knees. That's where he is. Charlie Brown, the smallest horse in the world. Tiny little fellow. Pet him if you like to. He likes to be petted. He's a little a midget. It's only a quarter, 25 cents. One time I'm working in Dallas, Texas, and a big cowboy up there, and he's looking down at the horse, and his friend said, hey, man, what kind of a horse is it? Is this a quarter horse? You give the man a quarter, come up and look at it. You know, we don't hurt anybody for a quarter. You know, they talk about ripoffs. You know, you go see a little horse or a big horse. You know, I had a horse in there. Somebody told me it was a Clydesdale, you know. But you have them down in the pit. They look smaller. What else do you want to hear? Anything else? You're not sure. I used to work in a medicine show when I was a real young lad. I used to work in a medicine show. I used to have snakes and fire eating, and I used to do all this jazz to get a group of people together so Dr. Lane could pitch his medicine. And then I'd say, ladies and gentlemen, gather down close, presenting Dr. Lane. And Dr. Lane would come out, and he looked great, you know, gray hair, looked nifty. And he'd say, he's an interesting lad, isn't he? And he'd shoo me off the stage, and then he'd go into his medicine patient, tell you about the elixir and all the stuff for your stomach, blah, 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 ba-da-doom, and go to the bathroom and all this stuff. And then at the end of his pitch, he used to go like this. He used to hold up a bottle of the stuff he's trying to sell for $2, and he used to go, if health were a thing that money could buy, the rich would live and the poor would die. But God in his wisdom ruled it so, when our time comes, we all must go. But an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. How many would you like, lady? And then I work the back of the tip and grab the money. Get the hell out of there. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for my end of the extravaganza. Richard, you want to take over? Thank you very much.
Thank you. This is the American Talkers section of the 1980 Folk Festival, which you've been listening to, or some carnival and sideshow pitchmen. I direct your attention to some of the vendors that we have. We have a hot dog salesman, a newspaper and program souvenir salesman, and I would direct your attention to the folk festival program which he is selling. We have a medicine man. We have a man who cleans eyeglasses. We have an auction tent, the yellow and white striped tent, and I would also direct your attention to my right, your left, to the Army Duck tent over there, where we do have some movies of auctioneers and pitchmen. We'll be beginning at this platform again in another 15 or so minutes with a discussion of some of the vendors, I believe.
I won't turn around. Same to you, Finko. And ladies and gentlemen, gather down close. We're going to do it one more time. We're going to bring out some of the strange, the odd, the weird, the bizarre, the macabre, and unusual people. Ah, yes. Anybody got a dollar? Get a dollar? It doesn't matter. I got a 20. I didn't want to bring it out. You got a dollar, Dr. Dick? Moving close. We're going to show you stuff here you never seen before. You know, you're used to the normal stuff. Watch this. We're going to do it better than the president does. Watch this. Look at here. President of the year. Watch the dollar bill. You're watching there, ma'am? Watch this carefully. Ladies and gentlemen, before the show starts, before we bring out the sword swallower, we're going to have the young lady swallow the blades of steel. We're going to have the fire eater, the freaks, the curiosities, the strange. Watch the dollar. Keep your eye on me. I'm a gizzard. I'm in a wizard. Watch the dollar. Every move is a work of art. Watch my hands. No time during the performance that my hands ever leave my fingers. Gathering close. You can get closer to me. I use Listerine twice a day. They wrap it around once. Now watch Dalla. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize having me here, talking to you in this vernacular, is the equivalent of having Frank Sinatra come here and sing for you? Watch it. We wrap it around once, wrap it around twice. Watch the Dalla. Every move is a work of art. We do this with Christian Science and rubber bands. You watching, kid? Do what I tell you. Watch this. We twist it around and twist it around. Now, ladies and gentlemen, watch this carefully. We're going to place the dollar bill right over here in my pockets, right through the strong sign. Can you all see the dollar? Can you see that, kid? Can you all see that, folks? You see that? Now, ladies and gentlemen, talking about Hoppy the Frog Boy, talking about Grace McDaniels, the mule face girl, Betty Lou Williams, the girl that had her baby sister growing out of her stomach. She had three arms, four legs, and two bodies. She died in Trenton, New Jersey at the State Fair. But here's what I'm going to do. Today, we have the special edition of our program. Now, ladies and gentlemen, on page 36 is where you're going to see those unusual things. But if you're a little squinchy and you can't handle it, it's stapled together so it keeps it out of the hands of the children. So I only have a few of these special editions. Now, these are going to be collector's items. Someday when you're a little older, you'll say, that was a collector's item. They only gave out so many of those. Today, while we're here at the, you know, while we're here at the festival, I'm going to sell these for a dollar a piece. Now, I want your hands to raise up high for the special edition. This is an antique edition of the festival. Give me a dollar. I'm serious. Now, you want the antique edition. You want that one over there? Where's the dollar? I can't see. I ain't got my lenses in, you know. A dollar over there. Somebody butchered a tip. Where's Dick? Dick? Oh, butchered a tip. What's the matter with you? Get over there. The man wants a special edition with the freaks in it. That's right. Get over there. Do what I tell you. There's a man back there wants one. You want one over there? There's another special edition over there. $1. $1 for the special edition. It's a collector's item. Go butcher the tip. Do what I tell you. And inside, on page 34, you're going to hold it. On 34, there's a little keyhole card, and you cut that keyhole card out. You dip it in the water. You hold it up to the light, and you see what little Johnny saw the night his big sister got married, and he looked through the keyhole. Yes, right. And ladies and gentlemen, this is called the antique special edition of the Strom here. Come here. They're only a dollar for the special edition of the Smitties. Here we are here at the forklift at the Smitties. Watch it. You want one over here? They're only a dollar. That's right. Come on. This is important. I'm supposed to look good. Buy the damn thing. Look at it. Let's go. I told him I could do it. Go ahead. Give me a dollar. It's important. I'll give you something else later. Watch this. They're only a dollar. Do what I tell you. Hey, watch. And in the third page, when you open up the third page, and you'll see to yourself, my goodness gracious, could this happen?
With the other.
Is that it? We sold them?
On the last...
What the hell are they doing? Playing back the... What is this? What are you, crazy? Watch this. I'm trying to sell the antique. Did you get the special edition? Ladies and gentlemen, in all seriousness, you laugh. You say what you want. But this happens to be the special edition. Now, these books are definitely going to be collector's items. I realize that you go in here and they give you one of these, but these are special editions. They have the freaks, the curiosities, the strange. They also have the keyhole card from the burlesque show where you take and you dip the part of it, you look up in the keyhole. It's really chemically treated. It's really fantastic. They're only a dollar. So go into your pocket, get out a dollar. If you want a special edition of this thing where all the strange people are, it's stapled in the center. You're going to see. Watch this. Okay. Hold up your hand. Let me see the dollars. Forget it. Don't beg. Don't beg. No, forget it. They had their chance. Forget it. Get the hell off the stage. I don't need this. I never wanted this life. I wanted to be a sex maniac. I couldn't pass the physical. Watch this. Look at Stevie. He's standing there. He looks like Woody Allen in Heat. No, he's our director. He's really a fascinating... You know... For him to put up with us talkers, you know, us talkers are rough guys, you know. He's got three of the greatest, the old Commodore McNutt over here. He's got me. And then he's got the fat kid selling the mouses over there. You know, they figured that everything was going to be nice. Oh, we're going to do everything up to order. It's going to be just nice. Oh, yeah, don't do this. And they're going to whitewash our act. We do it our act. We either do it our way or we all leave at one time. And he understands that. So we made it up among ourselves. So what's the matter, Steve? Did we get any money? What did we get? Oh, that's my dollar. Don't give me that jazz.
Why don't we show them what I
like? Okay, no, you sold already. They can't be they're non-rehashable. No, wait. Rehash means to do it again and give you more because we're going to put something extra in there with the $5 bills in the middle of it. And if you want to have a $20 bill, it's all bullshit. Hush this. I shouldn't say that. There's children in the audience. Now, ladies and gentlemen, many years ago when I was a young lad, I was working in Hubert's Museum on 42nd Street. Is that what I'm supposed to tell you? No, okay.
I think what we'll do is have him give you just one pitch, one of the pitches of his that we like the best, and then turn it over to the street vendors who will be up here to finish off the day. Why don't you just give him the pitch for rats? I know it's the one you like giving the best, so we'll have you give the pitch for the giant Cambodian rat and then turn it over to the street vendors.
Are the street vendors ready? Hey, hot dog man, get the fellas together. Come on. Over. Ladies and gentlemen, gather down close. Watch this in all seriousness. We're going to have the street vendors up here. But us guys, you know, the weird ones, they make us do more work. They get the same bread that we do, and, you know, they do nothing. They're out there hustling hot dogs. But it doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm doing this for love. I was sitting in the middle of my Orange Ranch, minding my own business. Here comes a telegram. The Smithsonian Institute want me to come here. They want American talkers. What a bunch of, you know what I say, right? Ladies and gentlemen, years ago when I was a young lad, I used to work in Hubert's Museum on 42nd Street that's down in the basement. And they had fire eaters and swords while I was a magician. And I was a magician. I was 13 years old. And I used to work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day for $21. And I used to do my High Over the Winds act, the magic act. And down there, they had a flea circus, which was put on by Professor Roy Heckler. And it was an extra added attraction. You had to pay 9 cents extra to see it. And I was a young kid. And I was nervous as hell, you know. I'd still get trying to get rid of my pimples. And there's a guy by the name of Jack Elkins, a very fine talker. He said, young man, he put me right on the platform there where I had the ticket box. And he says, I'm going to have a bowl of soup, which I found out later. Him having a bowl of soup meant he wanted to go upstairs and have a drink. See, I didn't understand that, you know. So here I am with a bag full of coins, and he puts me on the flea circus. And this is how it would have sounded years ago. When you're in there, there'd be a sword swallower, a fire eater. You'd see the magician, and they had some monkeys on this side, and this would be Roy Heckler's place. Ladies and gentlemen, once every hour, what the hell are they doing? It's the president. He's going down there. He's going down Camp David, take care of himself. Hi, Jimmy. I talk to him. He's a good friend of mine. He's learning how to get there, so he talked to Ronald, and he talks to me. Watch this. Once every hour, Hubert's Museum proudly presents none other than Professor Heckler's trained flea circus. In this enclosure, you're going to see dozens of real live trained performing fleas. Fleas that juggle, jump through hoops, play football, operate a miniature merry-go-round, tiny little fleas hitched to a chariot, and they actually run a race. But the most predominating feature of the entire show is little fleas dressed in costume, and they dance to the strains of music. It is without a doubt the most fascinating sight the human eye has ever witnessed. Now the professor is on the inside, ready and waiting to give a performance. There is a small admission. I don't apologize for it. It's only 9 cents. Fleas that juggle, jump through hoops, play football, operate a merry-go-round, tiny little fleas dressed, and that's how they went in those days. I'm not going to be until I get off. So go down to Camp David. I'll meet you there later. Am I going too fast for this group? You wanted American talkers. Richard, let me tell you one thing. American talkers are going to be American talkers all their life. They're a pain in the ass.
I wanted to ask you to do a couple more. Why don't you explain what a grind is and do it for grind pitch for a sideshow?
A grind pitch. That means the constantly grind, you know. I have a Cambodian rat. No, seriously, I have two of them. And I have them in a little show that costs an extra quarter. You go down a midway in a sideshow or down a fair, and this is what it sounds like. Rats! Rats! Giant killer rats from the jungles of Cambodia. More feared than a sniper's bullet. Capable of shredding a man's arm off in 30 seconds. It'll send chills up and down your spine. They're down in that steel cage. Giant killer rats from the jungles of Cambodia. It's the most fascinating sight. Rats that'll weigh up to 60 pounds apiece. Rats. Giant killer rats. A quarter. 25 cents. And that was the important part. A quarter. You know, they all come up there. And there's a dumb rat going eating carrots. You know, and say, hey, man, that ain't no rat. You know, wow, that's ain't got no tail. You know, they're jungle rats. Jungle rats don't have tails. They're called capybaras. And you have them. It takes a lot to feed them. Then I have a little midget horse. He's about this big. And this is legitimate. I have a little 21-inch horse. It's a dwarf horse. And this is how the pitch on that goes. Charlie Brown, the smallest horse in the world. He eats but a shoebox of hay every day and drinks but a teacup of water. He's a tiny little fellow. Look down, way down, a pasture knees. That's where he is. Charlie Brown, the smallest horse in the world. Look down there. He's a tiny... Pet him. He likes to be petted. He's a lovely little thing. A little Laputian, a midget. Eats but a shoebox of hay every day. Drinks but a teacup of water. It's only a quarter, 25 cents. And I'm working the Dallas Fair in Dallas, Texas, the state fair. And there's a big cowboy up there. He's looking down at the horse, and he says, and his friend says, hey, man, what kind of horse is that? He says, it's a quarter horse. Give the man a quarter. Come up and look at it.
Thanks. We're now about ready
to start.
You
got everybody up here?
Yeah, I think we're about ready
to
start.
I stalled enough. Yeah, they, you know, when they're stuck for stuff, they call on me, you know? Go ahead.
Indeed, that's true.
Thank you. Have a nice day, and be kind to each other.
Thank you, Bobby. We're about ready to start the next part of our program, and as soon as we finish getting the chairs up here, we're going to have some conversation and demonstrations of the pitchmen that have been working along the sidewalk over here. Hot dog, newspaper, medicine man, and a few other pitchmen. Steve, are we ready?
Sonny and Walter, come on up.
The carnival music.
We need one more seat for Marcus Johnson. We need Marcus Johnson, our balloon man. He's on his way. We'll need one more chair for him. We'll get one for him. Don't worry, Dick. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the last program of the day on the American Talkers section. And we're going to bring you something right now that we consider very special because it's something that many of you remember from your childhoods, and it's something that everybody looks back upon very nostalgically, which many of the older people in the audience will remember if you grew up in a city that knew that vegetables and fruits and scissors sharpeners and fish was oftentimes sold using old-time hollers and cries. And many of the immigrants to this country, many of the different groups who live in this country have made their living giving cries for fruits and vegetables on the city streets. And we have here some of the people that we consider the finest hollerers. And we're going to be introducing you to them and having them tell you a little bit about what they do and giving you some samples of their hollers. And we think it's important for many reasons, one of which is that especially the gentlemen up here represent one of the ways in which the whole country got to hear some of the sounds of the blues, some of the sounds of the blues and of black music that at one time were used to sell fruits and vegetables. And this was one of the ways in which our ears became accustomed to and fell in love with that particular kind of sound. And the first person I want to introduce is somebody named Walter Kelly, who's a Baltimore A-rabber sitting right on the end, and he'll demonstrate some of the hollers that he did as an A-rabber on the streets.
Good evening. My name is Kelly. I'm an A-rab in Baltimore City. I don't know if you know it or not, but throughout Baltimore, Maryland, they still have from 75 to 100 A-rabbers still on the streets. And most A-rabbers are noted for their cries and their calls. In the neighborhood where I generally A-rabs it, I generally give them my certain call so they know that I'm out there. So when I go in my neighborhoods, I always holler, stop all your honing, you're washing too. Stick your head out the window, head watermelon blue. Oh, got watermelon, got them red to the rind. If you want sweet watermelon, come to this wagon mine. And also junk in the wintertime too. They always say from the any old rags, any old paper, any old cotton mattress, hay mattress, put a raggy old paper. I thank you now. I'll give Mr. Dick so he can give his version of his A-Rab.
Well, my name is Sonny Diggs, and I'm also an A-Rabber. Have been a junk man, a wood man, a coal man, and well, some other men people used to call me, too. But I ain't going to tell you that. Well, I'm a... here, and I'm glad to be here. This is my eighth year here. If I wasn't such a good fella, a star, I wouldn't be here. and I'm glad to be here. And I want to thank all y'all for coming out to see me. And I appreciate it. And I want to give you a little holler like I used to do on the street when I was selling bananas. She go, banana got sweet orange and apple. We're right there. Tomato, sugar, corn, got down home. Lima bean and white potato, sweet orange and sunsetting. If you don't believe me, ask your cousin. Thank you.
Since we're talking about fruit and vegetable sellers, I wanted to introduce Tom Walton to you. Tom Walton also sold fruit and vegetables. I know, I want to do the fruits and vegetables first and then come around to the medicine and to the newspapers. But Tom Walton was also a fruit and vegetable salesman, so I'll have him do some of the calls that he used for fruits and vegetables.
Well, I like to say I'm glad to be in Washington, too. This is my first time. Took a long time, being 50 years old, to get to Washington, but I want to thank all you people for making it possible for me to get to Washington, because if it weren't for you and the Smithsonian and you, I wouldn't have got here. We just like to say we play a part in this, too, and I'm all the way from way down south in St. Petersburg, Florida, and we sell fruit and vegetable down there, too. So the way I do with my truck when I ride through the neighborhood, I goes, hear that me no vegetable man, yo, oh, I got the vegetables. Lord, I got vegetables. He got peas, beans, greens, apples, cucumbers, squash, bananas, corn on the cob, watermelon, white potatoes, sweet potatoes, agitators, all kind of potatoes, y'all. We got a little everything, a little this, a little that. Hey, you can ring my bell, ring my bell. Ring my ring-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, ring my bell. Bing-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. I got a great big bell on my truck. That's what be making the music. Thank you very kindly.
We also have a newspaper man named Vincent Pelosi, who's from New York City, where he's an old-time newspaper seller.
Good evening, everyone. So, well, I give you a demonstration before about Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Now I'm going to bring you up to date. I don't know how many of you remember the Wall Street crash and the Depression and the bank close in New York City. I don't know if it was all over the United States, but I'm going to tell you, New York City. Well, in 1929, they had to call Wall Street crash, and they had extra out, and I was one of the first to go out. Extra, extra, read all about it. Whoop, Wall Street crash. Whoop, money jumping through the window. Extra, extra. This is all true. This is not a makeup or nothing. This is my gentleman. Now come the banks closed. Extra, extra. Whoop, banks closed there. Whoop, banks fail. Then come President Roosevelt. Come in there. And the next one they had was on the Sunday. This was only one edition, was no paper, but one paper out. So went out, oh, President Roosevelt, close the bank, read all about it, extra, extra. In the meantime, all these cries I'm making, every one of you crying, get all excited, oh my God, what's this, this and that, and the more, extra. I felt sorry sometime, but I had to sell the paper anyway, you know. Well, Mr. Roosevelt come in, and he made the bank secure, where everybody saying now that we are a member of the Federal Reserve Bank, insured by the Federal Insurance Company. I mean, the Federal Insurance Bank. So that was my story. That's only one. I got about maybe 100, and it will take me here to 1990 to give you all of them. Thank you very much. Yeah.
I want to turn the microphone over now to Mr. Alton Machen. Alton is one of the last traveling medicine men who still travels around the country in the South in Anderson, North Carolina. And he lives in Elizabeth, Tennessee. And he works also in Hickory, North Carolina. And he travels around with selling patent medicine. He's the last person that we know of that's still traveling around selling medicine. And he does a pitch with it. It's a pitch that when you can hear him at his tent here, and he can give it to you for as long as you can listen. He's just going to give you a little piece of it now. You want to give a piece where you sing a little bit?
Indeed, I do. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the old man. I think the old man will do you good and help you here.
You know, medicine is a great thing, and it was made for the welfare of man, but a lot of men, you know, a lot of women, I don't need no medicine. You take you some medicine so you can stay on your feet. Feel good early in the morning, look a whole lot better this afternoon and all night long. You know, I tell a lot of my friends and a lot of my patients, take your medicine. Don't wait till you're going into a coma to start to take in medicine. The doctors is telling me every day in the hospital, you waited too late. The system is so low that you doesn't have a pound foundation to build on. You take these little growing children here, they need vitamins, minerals, and the protein into the body. They need iron in their blood. Now, here's the bottle that I have in my hand. A lot of people ask me, do you believe in your medicine? Do you take your medicine? Indeed, I believe in my medicine. I'll tell you one reason why that I do believe in this medicine. It gives me a new inspiring feeling and a new outlook in life. It makes me think clearly. It makes me act wisely. And it makes me do the things that I want to do and I love to do. And making love, oh, how sweet it is. How sweet it is. The whole town is talking about how good it is. I sold an old man a bottle of this medicine, and he told me that I made love and said, you talk about something that's good. It was real good. It was real good. I said, how come it's so real good when you get old? Say, well, you don't get much of it. And he just laughed. Well, I often think what the old man taught, but he told me that. Said, now, you got a good-looking woman over there. Said, you got to love her. I says, I do. Says, you got to feed her. I says, I do. Says, now you must watch yourself. She wants to be loved. And oh, how sweet it is. My girl, Lucille. 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 Take your medicine, Lucille. Cause it's gonna do you good, Lucille. And it's going to help you, too. It's going to make you feel good early in the morning, Lucille, and all night long. And when you're feeling that way, Lucille, you're looking good, Lucille. Keep on looking good, Lucille. When you're looking that way, Lucille, you're going to be satisfied, Lucille. Take your medicine.
Thank you very much, Alton. That was great. I hadn't heard the Lucille part. That's one of the newer additions to it that I haven't heard in the past few years. I also want to introduce you to somebody you might have seen on Washington streets. He's known as the Balloon Man. His name is Marcus Johnson, and he sells balloons with a cry.
Well, I guess about everybody around here know who I am. Everybody know me quite over the country because I've been around here a good while talking about my balloons. I used to talk about the hot dogs at the ballpark, too, and peanuts. When I first went out to the ballpark, people was cheering for the game. And I thought about now, I got to think of something to say to have some of these people can pay me attention. So when they stopped cheering, I walked down behind them. I said, it is time to eat, drink, and be merry. Get your drinks from me. Take care of your thirst and relax with a nice, cold, refreshing Coca-Cola. They are real refreshing. Anything I had, like hot dogs or peanuts or whatever it is, it's always time to eat, drink, and be merry at a ball game. So when I had peanuts, I said, it is time to eat, drink, and be merry. So let's enjoy these nice, nutritious peanuts. They are nice, delicious, and nutritious. Better try some. Everybody loves to enjoy these nice, nutritious peanuts at the ball game. They are real nutritious. But now, I'm on the street and still selling balloons. But I always talk about the way, which balloons I have at that particular time. I have lots of different kinds. So this time, I had three different kinds, I suppose, three or four. So I say it just like this. It is time to eat, drink, and be, I mean, that's the ball game. They are big, they, kind of made them thinking about my ball game. They are big, they are beautiful. The stars, Humpty Dumpty, he diddle diddle, Jack and Jill, old MacDonald had a farm. The beautiful balloons to decorate, they make the lovely ladies happy, make the children happy. When they make their pretty little ones happy, then everyone's happy. Pick them out, get them now. Hi, pretty little one, how are you doing today? When they make the lovely ladies happy, make the children happy. When they make their pretty little one happy, then everyone's happy. That's including the little ladies.
Thank you. Tom Walton is going to sing a song for you. A lot of times you can see the resemblance between the cries he does on the street and the way he sings, because a lot of times they both have some of the same sounds in them.
Thank you. This is one of my favorite songs. I had a song that I wrote, but it haven't been released yet. So I wouldn't do that this evening. I want to sing one that I learned a long time ago when I was a boy. And it's got a little fun to it. I think you might like it. Well, just another bowl of butter beans. Pass me the cornbread, if you please. I don't want no collard greens. All I want is a bowl of butter beans. Now see that lady standing over there, the one with the pigtails in her hair. She's not pregnant as she seems. She's just full of them good old butter beans. Well, bread and gravy is all right. Yes, sir. Country ham is a delight. But all my children always scream for another bowl of them good old butter beans. Well, just another bowl of butter beans. I like to say black-eyed peas. Pass the cornbread, if you please. I don't want no collard greens. All I want is a bowl of butter beans. Thank you very kindly.
Thank you, Tom. Sonny and Walter, you two do a song together, don't you? It was a song you were doing yesterday that goes back and forth. You want to try that one?
Where the doctor is, he's gone.
Yeah, we're talking about the doctor, the one that looked like Quack.
There was a doctor, his name was Quack.
Quack.
Say he fell in the well and he broke his neck.
Back.
It served him right.
Should have been home.
Turn into the sick and leave that well alone. Where did he go?
Up a hickory tree.
How do you know?
It was told to me.
Oh, wasn't that a
misery?
Oh, black robin.
Hickory tree.
Say, he went over to transom and he opened the door. He lit it on the sugar. He lit it on the ham. He wiped his feet on the grocery man. Where did he go?
Up a hickory tree.
How do you know?
It was told to me.
Oh, wasn't that
a misery?
Oh, black robin, hickory tree. Say, he bought himself a suit of combination underwear to keep out the frost and the chilly air. Say, he wore it 6 months without a
saccharation.
He couldn't pull them off
because he lost the combination. Where did he go?
Up a hickory tree. How do you know?
It was told to me.
Oh, wasn't that
a misery?
Oh, black robin, hickory tree. I'm going home now. Road, road on.
This is what he's saying when he's coming home and sold out, and then sold his load.
Down the road, 10
talking
miles
to the horse.
Behind old stone. Old big man had a whooping call. See, I knock him in the collar with a loaded line. Oh, but she would not mind. Hate to tell you what the old fella done. He cocked his legs up into the sun. Whoa, yo,
you go. Thank you. You're wonderful.
Thank you very much. That last song is what the A-Rabbers sing, or what one of the A-Rabbers used to sing when he was on his way home. And that's the end of the American Talkers program for today. So we're saying so long from up here on the American Talkers stage. Thank you.